Hello and welcome to episode 17 of Investigating the Post Office Scandal. We are hiding away in the bowels of the International Dispute and Resolution Centre in central London on Wednesday, the 26th of October. My name's Rebecca Thompson and I wrote the first investigation into the Post Office Scandal for Computer Weekly in 2009.
And my name is Nick Wallace and I am the author of the book The Great Post Office Scandal. We've had 2 days of fairly gruelling evidence from two senior Fujitsu executives.
On Tuesday, it was Keith Todd, former CEO of ICL, which became Fujitsu UK shortly after he left.
And today we heard from Tony Oppenheim, former director of Pathway, the company set up by Fujitsu ICL to build and operate the Horizon project, not to be confused with Robert Oppenheimer, who was responsible for the Manhattan Project and who described himself as Death, the destroyer of worlds.
What are you saying?
Nothing.
Of course you're not. Before we start looking at some of the evidence, for new and or confused listeners, can you do a quick explainer of how Fujitsu, ICL Pathway and all these companies and projects fit together?
Yes, because we are dealing with the ancient history of Horizon, it's probably worth knowing that Fujitsu used to own 80% of a British company called ICL. ICL was the company that won the contract to produce Horizon with a separate company it set up called Pathway. So before Horizon was branded as Horizon, it was known as the Pathway Project. And often you will hear references to ICL Pathway, which is obviously referencing the parent company. But Fujitsu was sitting in the background, owning 80% of ICL throughout this process. And eventually in 2002, ICL was swallowed whole and rebranded as Fujitsu. So for most of its working life, Fujitsu has owned the Horizon project outright, but in the very early days, it only owned 80% of ICL, and ICL ran the Pathway project. Does that make sense? Actually, there's another couple of things that you probably ought to know if we're onto confusing names for various organisations. There were two clients for the Pathway project initially, both of them government-owned. One was the Post Office and one was the Department of Social Security, which through its agency, the Benefits Agency, would also have part ownership of the Pathway project, which begat Horizon. And the DSS and the Benefits Agency eventually walked away, leaving the Post Office with Horizon, which was designed, built and operated by Fujitsu. Does that make sense? So all references to ICL are essentially Fujitsu ICL. Uh-huh. The Pathway project is the forerunner of Horizon, and Pathway is the company that was running the Pathway project, a separate company wholly owned by ICL.
Super simple.
I'm making it more confusing than it needs to be, aren't I?
I need a visual family tree. That's
yes, which unfortunately a podcast cannot provide.
Okay, on to the witnesses. Let's do it chronologically and deal with Keith Todd, former CEO of ICL, who gave evidence for all of Tuesday, 25th of October.
Yeah, Keith Todd was an interesting character. I mean, obviously, these are very capable people who wouldn't have got to the top of their organisations without knowing a bit what they're about. But he did seem to be very keen to put all the blame for what went wrong with Horizon on the government, particularly the Benefits Agency. And I think one of the things that we've seen from the last 3 weeks of the inquiry is there was some rancour between ICL and the Benefits Agency, with the Post Office largely caught in the middle. Mr. Todd did seem to be seeking to minimise ICL's own serious failings when it came to technical problems in getting the project off the ground, to the extent that Tony Blair got involved, as we know, but we got a bit more detail on how much the Prime Minister was involved in trying to placate Fujitsu and trying to make sure that this Horizon project happened to the satisfaction of government. We were also taken to a specific part of the contract, the renewed and renegotiated contract between the DSS, the Post Office and Fujitsu, or ICL as it then was, which had two paragraphs on something called prosecution support, which was the right of the Post Office to access all audit data. And I know you're going to say a little bit more on that in a moment. And much of Keith Todd's day was taken up with the counsel to the inquiry, Jason Beer, really pushing him on how much Fujitsu at the time, this is back sort of 98-99, were threatening the government to a large degree, saying that if they did not go ahead with this Horizon project, which was in danger of being cancelled, then it could cause all sorts of problems for the proposed flotation of ICL on the stock market. It could cause job losses and the like. And finally, Ed Henry, a barrister for one of the sub-postmasters groups, took Keith Todd to a note that was written by a Treasury official for the Prime Minister, which deals with this very subject and takes issue with Fujitsu's tactics over the way they essentially strong-armed the government on the Pathway Horizon project.
Certainly there was a meeting in April 1999. This is actually undated, but whether it took place before or after your meeting with the Prime Minister in connection with Mr. Naruto, I don't know. But anyway, three key points. ICL want unconditional agreement today if they and Fujitsu are to avoid a provision in their accounts. Unforeseen terms and conditions, if they come up, the public sector would have no right to withdraw. That is basically making Pockle a hostage to fortune, isn't it?
And I think it misrepresents completely what would have been said. It is completely inappropriate, expect an unconditional agreement to, you know, today. So the, you know,
however, Prime Minister's being misled.
No. I think that the way this has been documented is inaccurate from the conversation. And I don't know who was at this meeting, but if this is the meeting that I was at, that was not the way it was put across.
I see. ICL are not prepared to allow part of the contractual payment to be dependent on the system performing satisfactorily when fully rolled out. This means that the post office could pay for a system which did not perform as necessary.
No, but it's clearly false. Yeah, it's nonsense.
So that was Keith Todd.
And today, Wednesday the 26th of October, we were both in the inquiry room to listen to Tony Oppenheim, a senior ICL executive appointed to the board of the Pathway Project.
What did you make of his evidence then?
There was a lot on remote access to audit data. So he talked about how any change to the accounting system, the Horizon system by ICL employees, would have had a clear audit trail, which should then have been used for investigations into any shortfalls that the postmasters experienced. He also talked about how the post office would have had a contractual right to that audit data, which in the past they've said that they would have had to have paid for.
Yeah, so that's that prosecution support paragraph that was brought up with Keith Todd.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a key point, because it was picked up by a serving sub-postmaster on Twitter. One of the things that the post office have often said to defence teams for sub-postmasters is that, no, you cannot have access to this audit data, you cannot see this data, it's too expensive to get hold of. And yet Oppenheim was essentially saying, not only did the post office have a contractual right to this audit data, morally it should have been surrendered and handed over by Fujitsu, because you're dealing with very, very serious criminal prosecutions.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really interesting. In fact, Oppenheim was quite candid and I think genuinely bewildered as to how these prosecutions came about. And he said to the inquiry, it didn't occur to me that the post office would rush to prosecution without checking the facts. But crucially, he didn't also know how the post office would approach anyone at Fujitsu ICL in order to get the data that they wanted to support their prosecutions.
Yeah, this theme of people not knowing is already a very common one.
Yeah. It's the finger pointing and this sort of, well, it wouldn't have come across my desk.
It didn't come to me,
kind of stuff.
And I don't know who it went to. Yeah. I don't know who you can ask. He was also taken to a very serious error which came up during the testing of Horizon, which related to accounting, integrity of accounting data.
Description of incident, new description. AAIS contravention / data integrity. Derived cash accounts not equal to the electronic cash account. Incidents, and then there are a series of TIP numbers given, have been raised by TIP in respect of all transactions that constitute a cash account, have not been received by TIP, or when electronic cash accounts received, where transactions that have been conducted and received by TIP are missing from the respective cash account lines. These issues have come to light when comparing a TIP-derived cash account with the electronic cash accounts sent by Pathway. Not all instances of similar occurrences have been logged by TIP, as the physical resource to check each occurrence of a difference within the derived versus the electronic is not available. It was expected that this facility would by now be comparing like with like. This is very significant. Missing transactions and missing cash account line entries cause reconciliation failures within POCL back-end systems, and error resolution is invoked. The cash account produced by the organisational unit in these instances must be in doubt and is not a fair reflection of the business undertaken at each organisational unit. A sub-postmaster may be asked to bring to account an error, but the error was produced via system failure rather than human failure. Many hours of investigation at both the front end and back end have taken place to help resolve these problems. The benefits assigned to POCL back end system in respect of an automated cash account are being questioned. So just looking at that text for the moment, you'll see that about 10 lines in, the author, whoever it was, says that the incident that they're describing is very significant. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would.
And why would you agree that at this stage the incident was very significant?
Well, for all the reasons set out in that long paragraph. There's nothing I would disagree with in there.
It's very serious because what is described undermines not only the very purpose of the system, it means that the system lacks integrity, it lacks veracity, and it lacks reliability, doesn't it?
At that point, 19th of July, summarising things that had been found up to that point, yes. That position was untenable, and there's no way we could have gone on, and we didn't. You then need to look at what actually transpired after that.
We're going to spend the next two or so hours, I think, doing it.
Okay, fine. But yeah, this was a showstopper, and I would have had it down as substantive or whatever. This is a category A. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
And reading on, in just after the sentence, this is very significant. The sentence, the cash account produced by the organisational unit in these instances must be in doubt, and it is not a fair reflection of the business undertaken at each organisational unit. That's one of the reasons why the issue is very significant, isn't it?
Well, it's one. It's also, it then goes on to talk about the impact on the branch and the sub-postmaster. So this is, as I said, an absolute showstopper.
Put in blunter language, that sentence means that it's not a fair reflection on the sub-postmaster because the system is showing a false balance.
It is. That's absolutely right, which is why this needed to be looked at in significant detail. So this was new, and it was clearly a showstopper, as I say.
Moving on, if we scroll down, please. Severity. POCL, high, would affect POCL's ability to produce an accurate cash account. So POCL are describing the severity of the incident as high. PWY, that's pathway. Pathway, except the problem exists, would argue about the severity. Would it genuinely affect the accounting integrity as it currently stands? Question mark. You've told us this morning that on the basis of the earlier text, this was a showstopper. The point was made the system untenable. It was a fundamental issue and was undoubtedly high. Do you know why Pathway are recorded as saying they would question the severity? Would it genuinely affect accounting integrity?
So we're now going back 20-whatever years. I can't defend the proposition that it should be anything other than a major high-severity fault.
So that's Tony Oppenheim on the problem, and we eventually heard later today about the fix to that accounting integrity bug, which was a new piece of software which could flag all these problems to Fujitsu as they happened. And this led to the obvious question from counsel to the inquiry, Jason Beer.
Why was a system of this nature carrying out rather basic data integrity controls not built in from the start?
It's a very fair question. There was an element of it before. This didn't suddenly get rustled up in no time at all. So we'd been working on it, I think, since about June, recognising that there would be a need. I don't recall a requirement.
Who out of the pair of you in this relationship were the IT experts?
We both were. They had a lot of technical people on their side.
And so in your last two answers, are you suggesting that it fell to them to suggest that a very basic validation and reconciliation tool should be written into your software code?
No, I'm not. I'm simply saying, in answer to your question, why wasn't it done sooner? I think there was an element of it before. And in fact, I can recall a couple of pinnacles talking about. I can't remember what they were. There were checks, but they weren't organized in the manner that you described. And they were more for technical people. So they weren't as usable and they weren't as shareable, as it were, with POCL. So, yeah, logically, I agree. I don't think that it was in a requirement and therefore it got missed.
That was Tony Oppenheim. If you want to read a bit more about this particular point, Carl Flinders at Computer Weekly has picked up on it and written about it. So next it was the turn of the barristers for the sub-postmasters to ask questions, and this one came from Chris Jacobs.
Mr Oppenheim, I'm asking questions on behalf of 153 sub-postmasters represented by Howe & Co. Could I ask Frankie, please, to turn up page paragraph 59 of your witness statement, and that'll come up on the screen. That's at pages 19 to 20 of your statement. It's there. If we could just expand that at paragraph 59. Now, this is in respect of Horizon project achievability. And you say that in 2001, your confidence in achievability was supported by a statement that the chief executive officer of Post Office made to the effect that the project had been a success and that we'd got a product which is working extremely well. Now, we, as I've said, represent 153 sub-postmasters and mistresses, most of whom, if not all, have given evidence to the effect that the product routinely created unexplained and erroneous shortfalls, more than occasional mismatches, for which they'd been held liable. Now, my question is, do you accept that there is a disconnect between what the contracting parties were saying at this time and what was actually happening on the ground?
Well, with the benefit of hindsight, and I don't know the timelines of your clients' events. With the benefit of hindsight, clearly all was not well. But I've been trying to say throughout that we cautioned the Post Office that this would not be 100% foolproof.
Okay. And have you listened, Mr. Oppenheim, to what our clients and other people have said in their evidence in this inquiry from February to May this year?
I have listened to some of the videos, yes.
And my next question for you is, with hindsight, do you now agree that Post Office and PATH and ICL's confidence in the product was misplaced at the time that this statement was made?
That presumes that we thought everything in the garden was rosy, and we knew it wasn't.
Okay.
And we knew that there were things that we didn't know about it. And the point that I made elsewhere in my witness statement was that with any new program, you have to look out for the things that you don't know about. You can't pick it all up in testing. So at some point, you have to pull the lever and go live. And bearing in mind the volumes, looking at it from that standpoint, from any IT program, normal IT program standpoint, I'd have said this would have been viewed as a success, except for the fact that your clients were were held to account for things that they didn't do.
Yeah. Well, I accept that. And you said that you can't identify everything in testing. But what did they know about the potential for all these shortfalls that were unexplained?
Well, I can't answer that. I'd turn it around and say, why didn't the post office and also Pathway note the feedback that was coming back better through the help desk, through the reports of problems back into the help desk?
Well, that's helpful, thank you.
So that was Chris Jacobs. We ought to say that all the witness statements, transcripts and videos of the oral evidence sessions can be found on the Post Office Horizon IT Inquiry website at postofficehorizoninquiry.org.uk.
And if you want to have a look at the work that we've been doing, you can go to Rebecca Thompson's Substack, no P in Thompson, or go to postofficescandal.uk. And if you want the inside track on everything related, not just to the Post Office Inquiry, but the Post Office Scandal with links to other work, then go to postofficescandal.uk/donate, where for a small or large donation, you can sign up to the secret email which powers all of mine and Rebecca's journalism on this subject.
Thanks very much for listening to Investigating the Post Office Scandal. Don't forget to like and subscribe and follow so you can get each new episode as soon as it drops.
Investigating the Post Office Scandal is produced and presented by Rebecca Thompson and Nick Wallace with sage advice and support from Whistledown Productions.
We'll be back in just a few days.
See you soon.